Welcome to another episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler. Today is Monday, April 11. This week, I spoke with Dr. Mohammad Niazi, resident in internal medicine, and Dr. Alexander Bershatsky, attending physician both at Staten Island University Hospital, about a meta-analysis published in Oncology titled Efficacy of PARP Inhibitors as Maintenance Therapy for Metastatic Castration-Resistant Prostate Cancer, a meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. The final analysis evaluated three randomized clinical trials, and a fixed model showed a statistically significant improvement in overall survival for patients with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer who were treated with PARP inhibitors. The two authors I spoke with provided a detailed background on PARP inhibitors and further detailed the results of this research, focusing on survival increases with PARP inhibitor treatment for this patient population. Dr. Niazi, Dr. Bershatsky, thank you so much for taking some time to jump on the podcast to speak with me about your work. I really appreciate the time. So let's just start with, the overall objective of this research. You know, you examined the efficacy of PARP inhibitors as maintenance therapy for metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. Could you just walk me through what brought about this research and really what your main goal was with putting this together?
Sure. So as we all know that the PARP inhibitors were approved for the patients with metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer who had progressed on new hormonal therapies like abiraterone, enzalutamide, and they had germline mutation like BRCA1, 2, and ATM. So the idea behind this meta-analysis was to go over all the randomized controlled trials that have resulted and to see the efficacy of PARP inhibitors in terms of improvement in progression-free survival and overall survival among these patients when we use PARP inhibitors with or without these new anti-hormonal therapies like abiraterone and enzalutamide. So that was the objective behind it.
Perfect. And so Dr. Bershatsky, you and your colleagues kind of write a little bit about some recent approvals that we've seen in mid-2020. Could you, to kind of set the stage briefly, could you talk about those recent approvals we've seen with PARP inhibitors and why they're so significant?
Sure. So there were two drugs that have been recently approved for the use in metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer. They are olaparib and rucaparib. The reason why this is significant is both of these drugs have shown to improve overall survival in patients that have homologous repair deficiency found on next generation sequencing or in circulating tumor cells DNA or in somatic testing with next generation sequencing.
Dr. Niazi, I'll start with you. The research kind of filters these clinical trials or these studies through specific exclusion criteria and end up whittling down the pool of studies to three randomized clinical trials for that ultimate final evaluation. Could you just, for our audience, give a brief overview of these trials and what they examined?
Right, sure. So the idea was to find out all the randomized control trials which had like two arm study that compared the PARP inhibitors with the standard of care therapy. So we did the literature review. We went on the PubMed and Embase, Cochrane. We did all the literature review and we were able to find out there are like 37 trials that are ongoing right now that are evaluating the efficacy of PARP inhibitors, out of which two have been terminated and only three had resulted by the time we completed our literature review. That was around like mid of 2021. So the studies that we included in our study, two of them compared olaparib, that was the PROFOUND trial by De Bono, and there was another study by De Clark et al. So those were the two trials that compared the efficacy of the olaparib, whereas the third study that was by Hussein that compared veliparib to the standard of care therapy. And the idea was all of these studies, they evaluated the outcome of PARP inhibitors in terms of progression-free survival and the overall survival, except the Hussein study. that did not calculate the overall survival, but we had the progression-free survival from it. So we calculated all the data, and we were able to do a meta-analysis in terms of progression-free survival and the overall survival in the patients getting treatment and those on the standard of care therapy.
Well, that is a perfect way to transition to my next question, because Dr. Bershadsky, you and your colleagues looked at progression-free survival and overall survival of those trials. So I'm just asking, you know, simply put, what did you see there in terms of the results? And then I'll follow up with Dr. Niazi after on the significance of that data.
So the results showed us in terms of the progression-free survival, there was statistically significant improvement in the progression-free survival on the patients who were treated with PARP inhibitors, with or without the new hormonal therapy as compared to the standard of care. So meta-analysis, we usually do it either in the fixed model analysis or the random model analysis. So the difference is usually the fixed model analysis is done when the heterogeneity among your study population is less. And this is calculated by the I-square statistics. So if your I-square statistics is less than 50%, then you can use the fixed model analysis. And if it's more, you usually better go by the random analysis. So for the progression-free survival, the I-square statistics, it showed us it was 23, less than 50. So the heterogeneity was not a lot. So we used, if you go by the fixed model analysis, there was statistically significant improvement, whereas in random model, there was no improvement. Then I will go towards the overall survival. So when we calculated the overall survival, the heterogeneity, the I-square, that was more than 50. That means the heterogeneity was more. So by fixed analysis, there was statistically significant improvement in overall survival, but there was no statistically significant improvement when you do it in the random analysis. Although the results were highly skewed towards in the favor of PARP inhibitors in the prolongation of the overall survival.
You know, we just heard those results, and it sounds pretty positive in favor of PARP inhibitors to treat this disease. So
yes,
that's kind of the conclusion we can draw. But what is the significance of that? I mean, when you can fit that data into this field, you know, what is your main takeaway from hearing those results?
Well, the main takeaway from these results is that we are prolonging patients' lives. So there's a benefit in overall survival, which is what any clinical trial tries to accomplish.
Perfect. And Dr. Niazi, is there anything that you want to add to that as well? Is there anything different that you took away from these results, or is it pretty straightforward?
So we studied the progression in like improvement in the progression-free survival and the overall survival in the population, regardless of their genetic, like somatic or germline mutation in a BRCA1, BRCA2, or ATM mutation. And we were still able to find the improvement in the progression-free survival or overall survival. So here we can hypothesize that these medications can be used in the metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer patients who have progressed on chemotherapy and new hormonal therapy, regardless of their germline mutations. Because right now the approval is for the patients who have these germline mutations. But still, it is very early to say so. We have to study each of these germline mutations individually, because all of these have their own gameplay. These are all the players, and they have their own role in responding to the PARP inhibitors. Just like we all know that BRCA2 mutation is the strongest one. It's the strongest predictor a person is gonna respond to PARP1 inhibitors. So obviously we need more robust meta-analysis, more randomized controlled trials, and then we will be able to know whether the germline mutations, how stronger they are of a predictor in finding and analyzing the progression-free survival in these patients.
And I want to extend this question to both of you, and I'll start with you, Dr. Niazi. But with these results, you know, how do you see them impacting the field moving forward? You know, the next 3 to 5 years of treatment, is there any way you think treatment will evolve with PARP inhibitors for this disease? Or really, what impact do you see these results having?
With more meta-analysis, we have stronger evidence that these medications are improving the progression-free survival and the overall survival in the patient. We are prolonging the life of our cancer patient, as Dr. Bershadsky said. And we can more generalize, we can more broadly use these medications rather than pinpointing the patient. But obviously, it's better to go for the patient finding the pinpoint mutations and target them. So with more of these, when more of the data comes out and we run this meta-analysis, we will be able to use these medications more efficaciously and pinpoint the patients who really can benefit from these medications.
Yeah, the other thing to consider is that olaparib has right now is approved for a variety of homologous recombination repair deficiencies, either germline or somatic, and some of these mutations were not really studied in great detail. Therefore, by obtaining more data, we don't want to expose patients to, of course, treatment that does have side effects that may not actually help the patient in any way. The other thing to consider is that maybe moving these medications earlier in the treatment, for example, in treatment algorithm, for example, in castration-sensitive disease with ADT, or also in combinations with abiraterone and enzalutamide in the beginning of patients' journey, in their treatment of their cancer, we may find more benefit than saving these medications for patients that are already castration resistant.
All right. Well, those are all the questions I had for you, Dr. Niazi, Dr. Pershadsky. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me to share a little bit more about your results. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information and to stay up to date with the latest news and notes in the world of oncology, visit us at cancernetwork.com or find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you again next time.